Good morning. Boker Tov. We're on the bottom of Daf Tes Zayin Amud Beis. Two lines up from the bottom. And Yemir Tzashem, we're going to do the Daf for today. That's Daf Yud Zayin. I think in order to appreciate this sugya, we're going to have to go back a little bit just to review what we did at the end of the last year. And that has to do with Mayim She'uvim. Mayim She'uvim means rainwater that was collected in a receptacle, and he did so intentionally. And that water apostles a mikvah. And one of the gzeros, of the 18 gzeros that we're studying, is the case of shocheach. What does shocheach mean? He forgot to...
Good morning.
He forgot and accidentally left a kli to collect rainwater. This rainwater flows through what's called a tsinar, a kind of a pipe that's placed into the ground, and he put a kli underneath that pipe such that the water would come into that utensil. And we're going to have a case where on one level there is no Mayim She'uvim because he was Shocheach. He did not deliberately collect that water. But nevertheless, we're going to have a Gzera and Midrabanan, it's going to be considered Mayim She'uvim. So let's take a look on Daf Tes Zayin Amud Beis, and let's begin. I'll tell you where I want to begin in just a second. Let me just find the place. Here we'll begin with the Idach Maihi, which is approximately halfway through the Amud, maybe two-thirds. If it helps anybody, the first word in the line is Miratzef, and it's above Tosus Divya Maskel Af, and this is a little bit of a review of what we did at the end of yesterday's Shir. So if you want to listen just Baal Peh, you'll put your finger two lines above the bottom of the Omer, because that's where we're going to start today. So, but for those who followed where I told you to look, then you can follow it inside. We're going to read this quickly because we did this yesterday. V'idach Maihi, what's the additional gzera to make up the number 18? Disnan, we learned it in Mishnah Mikvos. Hameniach kelim tachas atzinor lekabel mehem begshamim. So he places this receptacle on the bottom, on the floor, on the bottom of the tzinor. The tzinor is now carrying water that's flowing into this receptacle. Echad kelim gdolim, echad kelim ketanim, afilu klei avonim, klei adomu, klei glolim. These are all types of kelim. Each one, which is not makabel tuma, and nevertheless, poslim es hamikvah, this water, since it was collected in a utensil, has the status of mayim she'uvim, which passels a mikvah. And the Tana adds the following: Echad aminiach ve'echad ha'shocheach divrei Beis Shammai. Beis Shammai says that even though this is not really called a she'iva, she'iva means when you deliberately draw water into utensil, because this was a case of shocheach, he simply forgot about the fact that the keli was there. Nevertheless, they made a gzera, and Beit Shammai won the day, that this mayim is considered posel of mikvah. Beisil metarim b'shocheach, Beisil say no. In the case where he forgot the kli, and he didn't do a deliberate she'iva, he didn't draw the water into the kli, it is kosher l'mikvah. And here again, they took a vote, and they voted in favor of Beit Shammai, and this is one of the gzeres. Amar Rabbi Meir, Nimnu, Verobu, Beit Shammai, Beis Hillel. when they took the vote, there were more on the side of Beit Shammai than Beis Hillel, and they paskin like Beis Hillel. Even in the case of Shocheach, he forgot the kli underneath this pipe. The water that's collected in that kli is Mayim She'uvim, it is Posel Mikvah. Umodim Beit Shammai, however, there is one scenario which Beit Shammai admit that there is no Gzerah, and that's called Bishocheach Bechatzer. In other words, where he left the pail outside in the airspace, you know, just outside. He didn't leave it underneath this tsinar that was collecting water. So it's just that water came from the heavens, the rainwater, and it filled up this pail. And this was totally shocheach. He just left a pail outside in the middle of nowhere. Rabbi Yossi disagrees with Rabbi Meir, and he says, "Adayin machlokes bimkomo medes," that the machlokes between Beis Hillel and Beit Shammai still stands, which means the following. Rabbi Yossi is disagreeing not with Rabbi Meir in the case of Shocheach Bechatzer, that he agrees, Rabbi Yossi, that Shocheach Bechatzer, that's not Psul Mayim She'uvim. But he disagrees with Rabbi Meir on the first point that Rabbi Meir made, that they took a vote and Beit Shammai was the rov, and that they codified the halacha like Beit Shammai. According to Rabbi Yossi, that's not true. The machlokas continued. They never took a vote. They never came to any final conclusion, and the controversy is still outstanding. It's still going on, says Rabbi Yossi. Amar Rav Misharshia debei Rav Amri. He quotes the Beis Medrash of Rav, Hakol Modim. Now he's going to set up two extreme cases in which both Beis Hillel and Beit Shammai agree, and then the middle case where they have a controversy. Hakol Modim Kshenicham B'Shas Kishur Avim. Everybody agrees that if the man saw that the rains were coming, the clouds were very foreboding, and he deliberately placed a pail in order to collect the rainwater, and indeed it rained, even if the rain came much later, they predicted that it would rain within 20 minutes, it rained a couple hours later, Tmein. The water is considered Mayim She'uvim because he deliberately put the pail there. Now we have a second case. This is the other extreme, where even Beit Shammai agree that it's not posel, it's not Mayim She'uvim. B'shas Pizur Avim, it was a beautiful sunny day, the skies were blue, and he left a kli over there. And then all of a sudden, there was a change in the weather, and the rains came, and they filled up this pail. Divrei Hakol Tahorim. That's not called Mayim She'uvim, even according to Beit Shammai, because he did not indicate ki hu zeh, that he wants to collect the rain. The weather was beautiful, and he didn't anticipate that all of a sudden there'd be a change of rain. Now we get to the middle case. This is the controversial case. Lo nechleku ella, where's the machlokas? Kishehi nicham b'shas kishra oven. He put it there at the time when it looked like it was going to rain. The clouds were thick. V'nispazru, and then the clouds dissipated. V'chazru v'niskashru, and again it became very, very thick, very foreboding. He left the kli there, and he didn't take it out. Again, at the moment that the nispazru, his mindset was to pick up the kli and bring it back in, because there's not going to be any rain. But he accidentally forgot about this utensil, left it there, and now it rains. A change in weather. Nobody could have predicted it. Marasover coin to Beis Hillel. Batla machshavto rishona. In other words, according to Beis Hillel, at the moment that the clouds dissipated and the sun came out, at that point, his original machshava, which was to collect rainwater, was completely null and void. At this point, he, in his mind, if you would have asked him, what are you going to do with the kli? He would have said, I'm taking it back into the garage. Umar so Beis Hillel, Beit Shammai hold, lo bat lo machshavta rishona. In other words, since at some point he expected the rain to come down, it was called Kishur Avim, even though the sun came out subsequently. Nevertheless, his original machshava to collect the rainwater, because at that point it was foreboding, that remains. Now the Gemara asks the question of Rabbi Yossi, Diyomar Machlokas Adayim Bimkomo Medes. According to Rabbi Yossi, this Gzeira of Shocheach in Mikvos is still an outstanding issue, never came to any conclusion. Is Batsri, who were left with only 17 Gzeiros, we're going to have to subtract one. How are we going to get up to the number 18? On Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, Af Benos Kusim Nidos Me'arisosim Bo Beyom Gozru. Now, Benos Kusim Nidos is going to be a sugi that we'll get to, perhaps today. And just to give it to you from the outside, again, we're not ready for this sugya, but there's another gzera here that we assume that a girl might have actually dam nidus from the moment that she's born. Biologically, it's possible. And with regard to the kusim, who behaved in the laws of nida like the goyim, they didn't accept any of our laws based on Torah Shebaal Peh. We'll see which details. So they are considered b'cheskas nidos from the moment they're born. And that gzera was bo bayom, on that very day when they counted the 18 gzeros, and they paskin like Beis Shammai. So now if you want to follow the text for today, we're two lines before the end of the Yom. V'idach mayi, we still haven't gotten to the number 18. What else can we add to the list? It's nine, and now we're learning Mesechta Olos. Kol HaMetaltalin Mevi'im Es HaTuma Bi'ovi HaMardea. Okay, now, to learn a little bit of Olos, we're going to talk about three different scenarios of Ohel. Number one is when you have inside an Ohel, inside a tent, you have a dead body and something else that could be makabel tuma. Let's say another person or kelim, utensils. Number two, when you have something that is susceptible to tuma and it itself is the Ohel. It itself is the covering under which is a dead body. And the third category is when the dead body itself is the tent. It means underneath the dead body there's something that's susceptible to tumah. Now what we're going to discuss today is something called a shir tefach. What does that mean by a shir tefach? We said in the first of the three cases, he has an ohel, something that covers the dead body, and something else that's inside that tent. So that which covers is called the ohel. It has to have a minimum size of a tefach, and we could have something called a mardea. What is a mardea? A mardea is a kind of a stick that's used by the shepherds, and that's the way they hit the animal, the cattle, and so forth, to get the cattle moving. And this mardea has the size of what's called a shlish tefach. It's only one third of a tefach. Now, what the Mishnah that we're about to learn is going to establish is that on a Durabanan level, even though we don't have a shir tefach, so take for example, in a case where the mardea stretches, he's holding it, and underneath the mardea, there is both a dead body and something else. We'll see a case where he's carrying it on his shoulders. So both the dead body is underneath this smardea, this pole, and his body, because the pole is resting on his body. We're not ready for that yet, but that's going to come around the bend. So this smardea, on a doraisa level, could not function as a tent. As we said before, the first of the three categories was a tent, and inside the tent you have a dead body, and you have something else. The smardea, on a doraisa level, before the gzera, could not possibly qualify as an ohel, because it only has the size of a shlish tefach. And an ohel could not be less than a tefach. Now this shear, this minimum size of an ohel, is halacha l'moshe mi-Sinai. And the mardea, this pole, herdsman's pole we'll call it, it does not have the size of a tefach, but there's going to be a gzera d'rabbanon on a mardea. And just 1 second. Now, gozru chachamim ala mardea, shekidei la'kifo tzorechut bi'orech tefach, af she'ein ba'ovyo tefach. So it means what we need on a doraisa level, if you could just write this down, it'll hopefully become clear later on, is we need something called ovyo tefach. Ovyo is spelled ayin beis yud vav. So we need ovyo tefach. Now, the mardea does not have ovyo tefach. But what it does have is something else, and that's called hekefo tefach. Hekefo is spelled he yud kuf pei vav. And I only spell this out for you because certain concepts you have to write down on a piece of paper, because otherwise it's pointless. So hekefo tefach means, just to demonstrate it, if let's say I took a string and I wrapped it around this pole, then the amount of the string that would go around the pole is one tefach. But the ovi, the actual thickness, if let's say you drew a diagonal in the pole itself, would be a shlish of a tefach. So this has to do with pi and so forth and so on. But what we have to know is just the following. Again, on a very, because this is a daf yomi shir, on a very superficial level, what you have to know is that this mardea does not have ovi tefach, and therefore it's not an ohel on a doraisa level, but it has hekefo tefach. And that's why the Rabbanan made a gzera here, and they said that it is going to be an ohel. And therefore, anything underneath this mardea, besides the corpse, will now receive tumah. Now the Mishnah assumes that kol ha-metaltalin mevi'en es ha-tumah bi-ovi ha-mardea. Meaning that even though the ovi ha-mardea is only one third of a tefach, nevertheless, it becomes a paradigm, an example for all metaltalin, any movable object could serve as an ohel if it has what's called hekefo tefach, where the ovi is only a shlish of a tefach. And we're going to soon see, as we turn to Daf Yud Zayin, that this gzera was a result of a story that happened. And Amar Rabbi Tarfon, as we turn to Daf Yud Zayin, I'm an Aleph, Rabbi Tarfon says, he takes a lashon of an oath, which is called akapach es bonai. Literally, it's a very dramatic, an exaggeration kind of phrase that when you want to show someone that I swear. So some people say I swear by my bubby's this. He says he swears that Kilu, his children will chas v'sholom die. Shezu halacha mikupachas. There's a play on words here, but mikupachas means that this halacha that we saw in the Mishnah is a mistake. somebody heard a story and he misinterpreted the story. What was the story? Sheshoma Shomea, the listener heard the following question that came up in the Beis Medrash about a story that happened. Vita, and he misunderstood the final conclusion, the verdict of that case. What was the case? Ha'ikar Over, a man who's a farmer and he's passing through his field, Umardeal Ktefo, and he happens to carry his pole on his shoulders. Ve'iel tzido ha'achas al hakever. And there was a burial plot in the field, and he walked by the burial, he walked by the matseva, let's call it, and the mardea, this pole, stuck out, and it was on top of the kever. The other part of the mardea is on top of his shoulders, of his back. And the question came before the rabbanim, what's the status of the farmer? Is he tamei because of the oel? Meaning, if the mardea is considered an oel, because underneath the mardea there's a kever, and underneath the mardea is this human being. And they paskin that he's tamei. The listener thought that this tumah was tumas mes, oel ames. Now the law of oel ames is that a person who's in the same oel as a dead body, he needs the full service tara process. He needs hazah b'shlishi v'shvi b'meichatos, and only after 7 days with hazah, then he goes to the mikvah, he can purify himself. So the listener thought that when they declared that this person is tamei, they made him into a tamei mess, as if he were in an oel ames, because the mardea was not only on top of the kever, but on top of his shoulders. And they thought, mistakenly, that any metaltel, any movable object that has the size of a mardea, which means it's only one third of a tefach, is mitame. Mitame betumas oel. It serves as an oel. And Rabbi Tarfon says that this is a big mistake. Because in fact, they were not mitame him a tumas sheva. They did not declare that he needs 7 days as a tummy mess, but rather what they did was timu oso mishum kelim hamahilim ala mess. Their verdict was a totally different verdict, and that's called kelim hamahilim ala mess, which means the following: that a kli shemayel ala mess, afim ein bo ela kolshu nasa avatuma v'nitma betuma shiva. If you recall, we said that there were three different categories. There was one category of an ohel, and then there was a third category. I'm skipping the second category for the time being. You'll go over that later, where a dead body was mahil on a dovra makabel tuma. And just 1 second. Okay, now. Oh, I'm sorry. The second category. Oh, it doesn't matter the order, but if you have something that's susceptible to tumah, like a kli, a utensil, no matter what size it is always susceptible to common tumah. If that kli is on top of a dead body, then that kli now is tameh. Once that kli is tameh, then any person that touches that kli is also tummy. Why? Because a kli that's on top of a dead body, and if that is not what the size of the kli is, becomes what's called an avatuma. And an avatuma conveys tuma to another utensil or to a person. And that's called Tumas Maga. Now watch what happens here. The Mardea is a kli. and that kli is on top of a dead body. No matter what the size is, that kli receives tumah and it becomes an avat tumah. Now, the other side of the mardea is touching the shoulder of the farmer. The farmer now becomes a rishon l'tumah, which means that tonight he goes to the mikvah, or today, and then he wakes till sunset, and he becomes tar. That's called a tumas rishon l'tumah, otherwise known as a tumas erev. Erev means up until the night. So the spectator mistakenly thought that they declared that this person is tame tumas oel ames, meaning that he was together with a mess in an oel, because they understood that the mardeah had the status of an oel, and therefore they assumed that any metaltel that has the same size as an oel, which is shlish tefach, is now considered mahil al ames, it's an oel, and therefore he's underneath an oel ames, together with a mess underneath an oel, and therefore he needs tumas zayin. But in truth, they misunderstood the whole psak. The hara was that the mardea, as a kli, since it's hovering over the mess, in this case the kever mess, therefore it's makabel tumas oel, which is called an avatuma, and now since it's in contact with the shoulder of the farmer becomes a rishon l'tuma. And they weren't metameh him 7 days, they were only metameh him tumas erev. Amar Rabbi Akiva, ani asaken sheyu divrei chachamim kayamim. Rabbi Akiva says, I'm going to come up with a certain kind of a thesis in which we can uphold the words of the Mishnah as we have them. And what we're going to say is the following, that what the Mishnah declared, and this was the gzeirah in Olos, is that the Ovi HaMardea, even though, again, the Ovi is only one third of a shlish, of a tefach, nevertheless it brings Tumas Oel, but Midrabanan, only as a gzeirah chachomin. So Ritarfan got all upset because he thought that the Mishnah was establishing a Tumas Zayin, Tumah of 7 days. And Rabbi Tarfon understood that in the mistake of the person who heard the story, he thought that any metaltolin could be considered an OL even if it only has a shlish of a tefach. And that Tumas OL is a tumah of Zayin Yomin. Nein, says Rabbi Akiva, that's not what they said in our Mishnah. What they said in our Mishnah is sheyu kol metaltel mevi'im es hatumah la'odom hanosei osam bi'ovi amradeya. That's what the Mishnah is establishing. That if a person is carrying something that has the ovi amradeya, then he has a tumah derabanan. So it means that the tumah is not a tumas oel on a doraisa level, but we're going to call it a tumah derabanan, as if it were a tumas oel, even though it's only a mardeh of a shlish tefach. And the reason for it is because he is carrying the mardeh, meaning there is a contact between the mardea and his shoulder. So that means the following, that if you have any sort of an object, we use mardea as a paradigm, which has the ovi of mardea, which means that although its thickness is only a third of a tefach, but behekefo, its outside circle would be a tefach, then if a person is carrying such an object, we'll call it metaltolin, and the metaltolin is now on top of his body, the Rabbanon instituted a gzera, and they were metameh him as if he was underneath an oel. Was he underneath an oel? The answer is no. Why? Because a mardea could not serve as an oel. It doesn't have what we call ovi tefach. It only has hekefo tefach. and therefore on a deraisa level, he's not tamei for 7 days. The Rabbanan instituted a tuma as if he were in an oel, even though the Mardei is not an oel on a deraisa level. And the reason they did so is because he's in contact with the Mardea. The Mardea is on his body. And therefore, Gazru Rabbanon Vitim'u B'tumas Shiva Kidin Tumas Olames. They gave him the status of Tomei Tumas Olames. However, if let's say he was underneath the Mardea and the Mardea was not on his body, then he would not be Tomei, because that would only be a Tumas Oel if the Mardea would serve as an Oel. The Rabbanon never said that a Mardea could serve as an Oel. What the Rabbanon said was that in a case where a person comes in contact with this Mardea, and therefore he has a Tumas Maga, and therefore he has a Tumas Erev, the Rabbanon upgraded his Tuma as if he were inside an Oel, as if the Mardea would serve as an Oel. So they gave him the status of Tumas Shiva Midrabanon. On a Doraisa level, he's only Tomei Tumas Erev because of his Maga in a Kli that's Mael Alames. And they were Choshesh that if they left it as a Tumas Erev, they were afraid that somebody would come to the mistaken conclusion, the Yomru, and they would think, Shenitma Tumas Tuma. They might think that if we only were Mitami, the person who's carrying the Mardea, 1 day, they would think that really this is an Ohel. They would come to the mistaken conclusion that the Mardea is an Ohel, and yet he was only Tomei 1 day. It means that somebody who finds himself under an Ohel together with a Bes only needs 1 day of Tumah. And therefore, to avoid that mistake, they said that he's going to be Tomei Midrabanan, a Tumas Zion. Rabbi Akiva continues and he says, V'al Atzman B'kol Shehen. As far as the Kli itself, this utensil that's on top of a mess, that's hovering on the airspace over a dead body, B'kol Shehen. On a Doraisa level, any Kli is considered Mahil Alames, and it's Tomei, a full Tuma of Tumas Oel. V'al Shar Odom V'Kelim Poseach Tefach. As far as other objects or Kelim or people that are underneath this Kli, and as we said before, this Kli is a Kli Kol Shehen. It means it cannot serve as an oil because it doesn't have the shear of a Tefach. Is then B'Poseach Tefach. The shear Tefach means that we need that this metaltel have a flat thickness. You know, so even if you would flatten it, it would have a thickness of a Tefach. Otherwise, it doesn't bring Tuma on the other Mekalim that are underneath it. The Omar Rabbianai, Umardea Sha'omru, when the Chachomim made this Gzerah to be Metame, the person who's carrying this Mardea, and he gets Midrabbanan Tuma Shiva, as if he were inside an Oel, and they consider the Mardea Midrabbanan as if it were an Oel, is Ein Biovyo Tefach, the Eshbe Kefo Tefach. This is what we said over and over again, that in truth the thickness is not a Tefach, it's only Hekefo, if you would, as we said before, wrap a string around it. Only then it would be Metame Biol Midoraisa. V'gazru al Hekefo Tefach Mishum Ovyo. And the Gzera was that if you have an object like a Mardea, which in its Hekef has a Tefach, then it's Metame Tuma Shiva, because they're afraid of a case where this object, this Metaltolin, actually has a full Tefach, and it would be an Oel Do'oraisa. Ul Rabbi Tarfon Diomar HaKapach Es B'ni Shalocha Zu Mekupachas. And Rabbi Tarfon, who said that they never made this Gzera of Tumas Ol Midrabanon, is Batzru Lahu, we're missing now one of the 18 Gzeros. Omar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, again, We're going to go back to the case of Afbinos Kusim Nidos Me'arisoson is Bo Bayom Gozer. On that day, they established that every daughter from the Kusim is going to be Tmeya Betumas Nida from the day of her birth. Now, you might ask the following question. We already have calculated this last Gzera of Benos Kusim as one of the Gzeros. And if that be the case, it won't add to the number according to Rabbi Tarfon. And the Gemara answers, Be'idach Svirulei K'Rabbi Meir, which means the following, that in terms of the Gzera in a case of Shocheach, you remember that if he left a kli underneath the pipe, and Beit Shammai say that that kli, even though he forgot about it, makes the water into Mayim She'uvim, Rabbi Tarfon holds like Rabbi Meir, which means that they decided the halacha, and they accepted the gzera like Beit Shammai, and that would be an added gzera to jack up the number, according to Rabbi Tarfon, to the number 18. We still don't have the number 18, though. Ve'idach, what other gzeros are drabonon? Habotzer legas. If you thought that the Gemara was complicated until now, I got news for you. The plot grows thicker. Because from Masechta Olos, now we're going into Masechta Machshirin. Machshirin means that there are seven liquids. I'll go through them. Each one of those seven is a machshir, meaning if it falls on a fruit or a vegetable, it makes that fruit or vegetable susceptible to tumah, if a sheretz falls on it, even if you dry it off before the sheretz falls on it. And these are the seven: tal, shemen, yayin, dam, cholov, udvash. Our focus for today is going to be, just 1 second, we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and the seventh one is mayin. Our focus is going to be on yayin. Yayin and shemen. Yayin means the juice that comes out of grapes, and shemen is the extract from olives. Habotzer legas. What happens is that when it's time to harvest the grapes, he brings the grapes into a gas. The gas is where they crush the grapes in order to get wine. And what happens is that in the process of bringing the grapes to this place called a gas, some of the liquids from inside the grapes come out. He has no interest in their coming out. What's going to happen with that liquid is eventually it's going to be lost. It collects in a basket, and then they lift up the grapes from the basket, and there's always some leftover wine, so to speak, or grape juice, if you want to call it that, in the basket. That wine or grass or grape juice is going to go le'ibud. Le'ibud means they're going to throw it out. But yet, the grapes became wet as a result of that wine. And Beit Shammai says, Huchshar. The grapes now are susceptible to Kabbalah's tumah. Why? Because the mashke of Yayin, even though he had no intention of collecting that wine, in fact his intention was to throw it out, nevertheless it is called Hechshel Kabbal Tumah. And if that be the case, we have to be very careful that when we bring after the Betzira, when we harvest the grapes from the vine, we have to make sure to put them into Kalim Tahorim. Because if you put them into Kalim Tmeim and they're wet because of some of the liquids that came out, then they're Makabal Tumah. And that's not going to be a good thing. And Hill Omer Lo Huchshar. Hill says that a Machshir needs what's called Kiyutan. Kiyutan means that you have to be deliberate about collecting these liquids. You may remember that we had a sugya way back when about a case of rainwater, and he puts a kli against the wall, and some of the rainwater falls into that kli, but he wasn't interested in collecting the rainwater. So that's not a Huchshel Kabbal Tumah. Well, Beit Shammai said that we have to make this gzera, and we have to be afraid that maybe at some point, maybe he will be interested in these liquids. Amalo, Hillel Shammai. Hill turns to Shammai and he says, if you want to be consistent about it, You should apply your same yardstick to the case of olives. Again, Shemen is one of the seven mashkim, makshirim. And if you're afraid in the case of grapes that there's some liquid that came out of the grapes, and you want to therefore force a person to make sure that everything is tar and all the kalim into which he puts the grapes are kalim tahorim, that it shouldn't be mekabel tumah, it's already hukshar from the mashke, is why do you allow us, in a case of masika, which means in a case of taking grapes, olives, for the process of crushing the olives and extracting the oil, why do you say that we're allowed to use any kalim? And you didn't make this gzera with regard to olives. You didn't say moskim vitara, that you have to make sure that the olives are brought in kalim tahorim because of some of the liquid of the olives that came out. And the truth is that at this point, we don't know the answer to this question. There is no answer to this question at this point. Tosis is going to try to answer this question, but Hillel says to Shama, you're not being consistent. Your gzera should apply equally to olives as it does to grapes. Amalo, so Shama says to Hillel, this is kind of an exaggeration, he says, Imtakniteni, if you're going to press me and keep asking me these questions, then Gozrani Tuma Afa Masika, then I'm going to have to back down. I can't give up on my gzera on grapes, which is what hopefully Hill was hoping he would do. But Shammai says, no. What I'm going to have to do is I'm going to have to be consistent and extend that gzera to include olives as well. So don't chepper me. Don't bother me. Now, on that very day, when the Talmidim of Beis Hillel and Beit Shammai were in the Beis Medrash, it was time to take a vote. Natsu cherev the Beis HaMedrash. They put a sword in the Beis HaMedrash. V'amru, and they declared, HaNichnas Yikanes. Anyone who wants to come in and join us is invited to join us. Vayotze, anyone who packs out, he doesn't want to get involved in this vote. Al Yetze, he shouldn't leave the Beis HaMedrash. You know, there's a sword over here. And that's the security forces, the National Guard. So he says, then on that day they took a vote and they paskin halacha kishamai. V'yosa ayom ayahil kofuf. Hillel was bent over in a position of subjugation. V'yoshev lifnei shamai, and he sat in front of shamai ki echad min talmidim, as if he was one of the students. Now keep in mind that Hillel was great. I mean, he's one of the greatest of all atanoim, and yet he was a great humble person. He was an anav. And on that day when they took this vote, you know, he was like sitting there, you know, in a submissive position. And that's very insulting to someone, the Godel Ador like Hillel. Hayakoshel Yisrael, it was difficult for the people of Israel. Kiyom Shenasebo Egel. And the Chasam Sofer says, what's the comparison to Egel? If you remember, Aaron, because of his midah hanava, he was so humble that he capitulated, and he was willing to actually build the Egel. And here Hillel was the Nasi, he was the head honcho. And yet because of his humility, he accepted the view of Shammai, even though he disagreed with Shammai. The Gazu, Shammai the Hillel. And at that point, because of the vote, Hillel, even though he disagreed, he complied with the majority rule. But v'lo kiblu minayu. At that point, the Jewish people were not ready to accept this gzera. You see how important grape producing, wine producing was, even at that time. V'asu talmidayu, but in the next generation, the Talmidim of Beit Shammai still came, v'gazer, and they instituted the gzera. And then the Kiblu Minaya, the Jewish people, accepted this gzera, and therefore it's another one on the list of the 18 gzeros. My time of the Gemara says, what was the reason for this gzera? Why did Beit Shammai insist that the little bit of liquid wine that comes out is considered machshir lekabel tumah, even though it's going to be thrown out? It's olich le'ibud. A machshir has to have a certain significance to it in order to be classified as a machshir. Amar Ze'iri, Amar Rab Chanina, and here we have a number of different answers to this question. What was the underlying reason for the Gzera? The first answer is Shema Yivtzerenu Bekupos Tmeos. Now, Kupos Tmeos are utensils that are that have already received tuma. They were makabel tuma, and in such a case, it would be machshir. Okay, what he means is that maybe what he's going to do is he's going to take the grapes, he's going to harvest them, and he's immediately going to collect them in kalim in such a way that these are good kalim, and he might want to keep the wine that collected on the bottom of the kli. So the Gemara says, what is this principle that since he collected the wine in a kli tameh, therefore the wine is tameh? So that's based on a brisa, which records a machlokas on this point. Anichlam and the Omer, there's one opinion that says kli tameh choshev mashkin. Now again, this has to do with Masecht Machshirin, which is way out of our purview. We'll have to accept it as axiomatic that according to one opinion, once you put a liquid into a kli tameh, then by definition, because of the status of the kli, that liquid becomes a machshir, even though he's not interested in that liquid. Shapir, then it makes sense they made a gzera, because maybe he would take the grapes after he cut them off and put them into a kupa tmea, into some sort of a utensil that's tameh. But El Amad Yomar Rabbi Yossi in the Brisa disagrees. And he holds Ein Kli Tomei Choshev Mashkin. The fact that you put a liquid, one of the seven liquids, into a Kli Tomei, that in and of itself does not mean that the liquid becomes a Machshir, because he doesn't want that liquid. It's Michael and Meimar. So why would they make this gzera, if you hold like Rabbi Yossi? The Gemara wants to work it out, even according to Rabbi Yossi. Ela Omar Ze'iri. Ze'iri says in the name of Rabbi Chanina, gzera shem yivtzerenu bekupos mizupafos. What is kupos mizupafos? These are utensils that are lined on the inside with tar, in such a way that all the mashkim are maintained within it. It doesn't seep out. And therefore it's not holech le'ibut. And therefore it's a machshir. Rav Amar has a different take on it. Gzeira mishum ha'noshchos. What happens is that you have certain clusters of grapes, and they are very tightly packed. And what he does is he wants to separate one grape from the other. He takes it by hand, and he squeezes it. And inadvertently what happens is that some of the liquids come out. And here, since he did it with his own hands, and he caused the liquids to come out, those liquids, that yayin, is machshir, has the status of machshir. Then we have a final answer, and that's Rav Nachman Amar Rabba Baravua, Pomim Shadam Holech LeKarmel Leida Megia Novim LeBitziro Lo. Person goes out to his vineyard, he wants to check the grapes to see if they ripened or not, if they're ready for harvest. Notel eshkol anovim lesokto. And what he does is he takes a cluster of grapes and he starts checking them out, and he squeezes them. Umezalef al gabi anovim. And some of the liquid from the grapes comes out and it covers the grapes. Ubishas bitzira adayin mashke tofeach aleim. And later on, when he cuts down the rest of the grapes and he puts them all together, there's still a liquid from the original schita when he squeezed it out, and that liquid comes in contact with the other grapes, and it's machshil kabel tuma. Therefore, we have to make sure that he harvests his grapes in a kli tahar. That was the gzera of Beit Shammai ve'idach. And what about another gzera? And here we turn to Daf Yud Zayin Beis. Omar Tavi Rishba. Tavi was an Amora, and he was a hunter. Rishba means he was a hunter. He put out traps, and that's how he captured animals and birds. Omar Shmuel. He says the name of Shmuel. Now we're in a Mishnah in Trumos. Af Gidulei Truma Kitruma Bo Bayom Gazu. If a person takes Truma and he plants them in the ground, then, you know, he's using the Truma itself as if it were a Zera, as if it were a seed. And what happens is, of course, the Truma now rots in the ground, like any seed. Technically, it's no longer Truma, and therefore anything that grows from that seed does not have the status of Truma. They made Xera, no. Gidulei Truma has the same status as Truma, and if you're not a Kohen, you're not allowed to eat Gidulei Truma. My timer, why did they make this Xera? Omer Rav Chanina, Xera Mishum Truma Tahora Biyad Yisrael. What happens is a Jew separates Truma, and he's meant to give it to the Kohen. But he doesn't want to give it to the Kohen. That's called Ayin Tzara. He's too stingy. He doesn't want to share his Truma with the Kohen. On the other hand, he's not allowed to eat it. He's a Yisrael. So what does he do? He takes the Truma and he plants it. And that which grows doesn't have the status of Truma. So as a result, we're basically undermining the whole enterprise of giving the Kohen his Truma. So in order they wanted to block such an effort, they told the Yisrael, if you plant the Truma, then what grows from that Truma has the same status as Truma. You didn't gain a thing. Oh, my Rava. Rava says, I don't understand. This man was Mafish Truma. Either Hashidi Lachi, if you're suspecting him of trying to cheat the Kohanim, is a Frushi Navilo Lifreshu. He didn't have to be Mafish Truma to begin with. Why? Came in the Efshol Mevad. He could do like Shmuel said, Chita Achas. Shmuel said that all you have to do in order to be mafresh truma is take out one kernel. There's no shir min haTorah, no minimum amount that's required to be mafresh truma. And chita achas poteris sakri, one little kernel will pater him up from the entire truma. The low covenant, and that's what he did. That's not what he did. Obviously, he was mafresh a significant amount. Otherwise, he wouldn't try to delay giving it. Is Hemnu Mehemne. He proved himself that he's trustworthy. He's not going to try to be ma'akiv to hold back the Truma. So therefore, you don't have a good reason for this Gzera, Ella, but rather the reason for the Gzera was a different one. Mishum Truma Tmeya Biad Kohen. Let's say the Kohen is holding on to Truma that he received, and this Truma now became Tomei, and the halacha is that he's not allowed to eat this Truma. He's got to burn this Truma. But Dilma Mashi Le Gabe. But with the Kohen, he's going to think, you know, I'm going to leave it around. Why? I'm going to eventually plant this Truma. And once I plant the Truma, then the status of the Gidulei Truma is that they are Tahorim. The Asili de Takola. We don't want him hanging around with this Truma Tmeya because eventually he might come to eat it. So we want to make sure that he burns this Truma Tmeya as soon as possible. So we're going to say to him, buddy, don't think that you can plant this Truma and obviate the law of Truma Tmeya. It's not going to help you at all. Anything that grows from this Truma is going to have the identical status of the Truma itself, and it'll still be Truma Tmeya. The Idach, we need another Gzera. At the end, we'll calculate 18. I don't know if we'll get to that today. Maybe we'll do that tomorrow. But anyway, the another Gzera is Omer Abchiyah Barami Mishpedula Af Misha Hichshich Lo Baderech. Imagine a person is carrying his wallet, and it's Erev Shabbos, and all of a sudden it's nightfall, and he has a wallet full of money. So what does he do? He's standing in Rishus HaRabim, and technically, according to the Torah law, he could take two steps instead of four steps, and stop and do it again and again and again, as long as he doesn't carry it four amos continuously. So they made a gzera, and they said, no, we're not going to allow him to do that. We're afraid he may carry it four amos. No saying kiso l'nachri. In this particular case, we're going to take the lesser of evils. Normally, we don't tell a guy to do a malacha for us, but here, we're going to force him to tell the guy to do this malacha, and we're not going to allow him to be metaltel two amos, and then put it down, and then take it another two amos. Is bo bayom gozru. That was a gzera on that very day, v'idach. We need another gzera to make up the 18 gzeros. Amar Bali, very interesting name, Bali. Amar Avimi, and he came from a city called Sin Vasasa, which everybody knows where that is. Anyway, He says, Piton, Shamnon, V'yenon, B'noseyem, Kula Mishlosha Se Dovarein. They said, we're not allowed to eat the bread of a guy, we're not allowed to use the oil of a guy, we're not allowed to drink the wine of a guy, and we're not allowed to be alone in a private room with a non-Jewish woman. And all of this, we'll see, is one single gzera, because each one meant to keep you further away from ultimately being alone in a private place with a non-Jewish woman. So the Gemara says, Hanicha l'Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir was the one who counted the gzera, that if you forget kelim under the tzinar, then the water that came into that keli has the din of mayim she'uvim. And if that be the case, we now have gotten to the number 18. Again, we'll go through the number 18 in a minute. El Rabbi Yossi, but Rabbi Yossi, who said that machlokas about the kli that received the water, whether it's mayim she'uvim, is still an outstanding machlokas, and it wasn't decided, is Shivsrei Havi, we're left with 17 gzeras, we're still missing one gzera. And the Gemara answers, Ika hod Rav Acha bar Ado, Tiyom Rav Acha bar Ado, Rav Yitzcha, Gozru al Piton Mishum Shamnon, Val Shamnon Mishum Yenom. So there was a gzera that if we allow to eat the bread of a guy, we'll eat the oil, we'll take the oil of the guy, and for the oil of the guy, we'll come to drink the wine of the guy. So the Gemara says, what do you mean, al pita mishum shamnon? My ulmi de shemen mi pas? Why do you think that the reason why they kept you away from the pas of a guy is because of the shemen? What's worse about the shemen? Ellis, the Gemara says the following, gozra al piton v'al shamnon mishum yenom. So bread and oil were put in the same category, and they said, don't buy that from the guy, because ultimately you're going to buy the wine of a guy. And why don't they want you to buy the wine of a guy? Al yenam mishum b'noseyem, because once you buy wine from the guyim, you'll start drinking together with them and with the female guyitas, the al b'noseyem, and what's so bad if they drink with the guyitas? And you and I might have said that it's a question of sexual immorality. No. The real issue is Mishum Dovarach. Dovarach is a phrase all over Shas for Avodah Zorah. She's going to say that she doesn't want to have a relationship with him unless he worships an idol. This is what happens at the time of the Bnos Moav. And then there's another gzera called Al Dovarach Mishum Dovarach. What does that mean? What's Dovarach Mishum Dovarach? My Dovarach, Om Rav Nachbar Yitzchak, Gozo Al Tinok Nochri. Shemetame Beziva, that a young boy is, a non-Jewish boy is considered Tomei, as if he had a Zav, even if he's not a Zav. And why did they make this Gzera? Shaloyei Tinok Yisrael Rogel Etzlo, because they didn't want the young boys, the Jewish boys, to hang around the non-Jewish boys. B'mishkav Zocher, because they would come to some sort of homosexuality. That's what the non-Jewish boys were trying to entice the Jewish boys. Now if that be the case, we added two more gzeros. Yehachi l'Rabbi Meir Nami Shasrei Havya. Now we're up to 19, because Rabbi Meir accepted the gzera of Shocheach Kli Takas Atzinor, considering that Mayim She'uvim. And now we added another two gzeros. So now we're up to 19. So the Gemara answers that Ochlin Kelu Shenitmu B'Mashkin Chashiv Chada Chashiv Lu. There were two gzeros that we counted as two separate gzeros. In the case of things that contracted tumor from Mashkim, one was Kelim and the other was Ochlim. That if food came in contact with Mashkim, then the food contracted tumor, even though Mashkim as a regional tumor could not contract tumor to an Ochel on a Doraisa level. They did the same Gzer of Kalim from Mashkim. Now we're going to combine these two, and we end up with 18 Gzeros. So Mirtz Hashem, I'd like to start tomorrow Shia by giving you a list of the 18 Gzeros, and that'll be sort of a Chazara, a little bit of a review of everything that we've been learning for the last, I don't know how long. Maybe it's already 4 days, maybe 5 days. Okay, then I wish everyone a great day. And by the way, if anybody wants to be on my list, in case there's some glitches or anything else, I think there may be a button there where you could add comments. So just, you know, you could sign in. I'll figure that out, the technology, a little bit. But anyway, thanks for everyone, and everyone should have a great day. Yeah, I feel like we're learning half of Taros, you know.